Ambassadors, I am now very happy to give the floor to the Secretary General of the OAS, Don José Miguel Insulza, to share with this Council the most recent information with regards to the state of play in Honduras. Thank you very much. Secretary General, you have the floor. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to give you a breakdown of everything that has happened since the last information we offered the Council. I'm going to delve in some of the details. I'm going to read some text because I think it's very important. Particularly, I think it's important to spell out. This is public information, but I think it's interesting to spell out some of the facts and figures that we see in the press, but that don't tally with the reality. Well, as you all well know, the agreement, the so-called Tegucigalpa-San Jose Agreement for negotiations and the strengthening of democracy in Honduras, established in Indent 6, a verification commission. This commission was responsible or entrusted with precisely verifying the commitments that were made in the agreement and everything that emerged from them. The commission is made up of two members of the international community and other members from the national community as well. The text of the agreement is dated 12th of November in terms of the date to put together the commission. The commission was established or made up that day. I appointed the people that day who would be part of the mission because of the international lobby, the President of Chile, Mr. Carlos Escobar, and the Secretary of Labor of the United States, Mr. Solis, encouraged the movement towards this. And I'd like to thank those people and thank the United States for its willingness to offer a secretary of the government to step aside of his functions and be part of this commission. I think that this evinces the interest that we have and that these public servants have in this issue. The mission went to Tegucigalpa to begin their work, and that was on the 3rd of November. They got there to flesh out an agenda which would include a meeting with President Zelaya, a meeting with the de facto president, Mr. Micheletti, and the National Congress and other authorities, some of the political party members, and so on and so forth. These were meetings for the commission itself to carry out the tasks that it was entrusted to do. In practical terms, I would like to tell you that you do have the Tegucigalpa-San Jose Agreement. The Tegucigalpa-San Jose has a host of different issues in it. But what they had to first and foremost verify was that there was a balance in the national unity government and that there would be some balance in the comments made with regards to the return of President Zelaya. This was included in the agreement. And of course, we also assumed that the commission, over the course of its work, would also verify other issues, such as complying with the commitment to not deal with other constitutional issues. Everybody signed, but the key at that time was, and on this particular point, we really didn't have a lot. The commission hoped it to see something happen, but and I think it's important to point out this issue or this fact. It speaks to a government made up of the representatives of the 10 political parties recognized because of their ability, their integrity, and their willingness to dialogue. And it is made up of the different secretaries and the subsecretaries and the different dependencies of the state in accordance with Article 46 of the Constitution of the Republic. Now, let me just reiterate. The agreement says, it doesn't say how things are going to move forward specifically, but it would be reasonable, inasmuch or that there would be a dialogue commission, and as much as both parts of the dialogue are represented for the unification, because I forgot to tell you that Mr. Micheletti appointed Mr. Corrales, who headed up the negotiation committee on that side, and President Zelaya appointed the Ambassador Reina, that all of you know. He was here recently. Well, actually, he is still the representative of the government. At any rate, the commission began a kind of negotiation round in the presence of the representatives and the national delegates. There was a kind of negotiation to determine how the national unity government would be, what it would look like. And the second issue, not to who would chair or preside. Obviously, it would be the president. This was said in a public declaration, but the constitutional president would preside, the legitimate president would preside. So therefore, congressional resolutions have to be taken. But it wasn't so much that. It would be how things would be sworn in if or before the Congress finished its work. Now, as I said, when they got to Tegucigalpa, they kicked off their work. And not too long after they arrived, they became aware of a note. They found a note and learned there was a note that Mr. Micheletti had addressed to quite a few people. And amongst them, President Zelaya. I'm going to be very clear about this because this was not known at the time, and it came out in statements afterward, but the note didn't figure prominently, but it was sent to me, and my representatives have to know about it too. But the note says the following. The date is very important here. Tegucigalpa. I'm going to read it. 3rd of November, 2009. In other words, the day that the commission arrived in Honduras and before they interviewed Micheletti and Zelaya. I think that I'm mentioning Zelaya also because I was told this morning that by Correa that Mr. Zelaya at the time wasn't aware of the note, but he was apprised of it on that very day. And it states, numbers, Mr. Zelaya, present, Mr. Zelaya Rosales, with my instructions from the constitutional president, the president, Mr. Micheletti, and with a view to complying with number one, the rational national unity government, according to TSL, signed on 30th of October, 2009, we would like to kindly ask you, without delay, to abide by the prerequisites of the Constitution of the Republic so that within that framework you can select public servants which, as of the 6th of November this year, will make up the National Reconciliation Unity Government. Sincerely, Rafael Pineda Ponce, Minister of the President. Now, I don't think that it was actually all that necessary to read this, but I thought it was important because President Zelaya didn't put in names. It's not that he didn't have any names to put in. President Zelaya didn't send in any names so that Mr. Micheletti could inform the people in the government what was happening. This was not agreed in any agreement, despite the fact that these people would make up the government. It wasn't signed in any agreement. And therefore, as a result, I think that it's very important to underscore that at that very time, the verification mission would have come head on to its first set of problems. They even discussed at the time how the mission itself could move forward. But there were other problems that cropped up as well. Another problem that was not mentioned in the note, but there was the problem of designating or stipulating an agenda and then asking for an interview. with the National Congress, which obviously after Mr. Micheletti's interview, the National Congress, well, Mr. Micheletti said that they wouldn't be able to speak until the following day. So therefore, making the note go into force, as it were, Mr. Micheletti postponed the meeting with the Verification Commission until the 4th, in the light of all of that. And the President and the Congress, no, excuse me, said the Speaker, the Congress put a declaration out. I'm not going to read too many, but they embrace the San Jose Tegucigalpa agreement and the lines it stipulated. And then the President informed that because of other activities, he could not receive the members of the commission. Obviously, that led to a host of different problems with the mission as well, because item 5 of the agreement, the TSL, which was not discussed, that would be the role of the National Congress, and that is crucial in terms of giving their opinion as to the point put in the Tegucigalpa agreement. Notwithstanding all of that, notwithstanding the thorn in the side of the Verification Commission, the Commission did see a group of congressmen headed by the Secretary of the Congress, the Liberal Party, Mr. Lara, and Mr. Velasquez Lazar, from the Christian Democrat Party, the head of the National Party, Mr. Aznavas, and the head of the PNU campaign, Mr. Aguilar. Now, in their talks, they together raised a host of different issues. And perhaps what stands out is the reticence of these people and or bringing back President Zelaya before the election, so that the Verification Commission had a brief meeting in that light to express their own disagreement and highlight the real conditions for verification of the agreement. In the opinion of the international members, it was important for the Commission to establish a climate of trust so that the San Jose Tegucigalpa agreement could move forward. And this was put before Mr. Micheletti as well. So obviously, without further ado, the members of the Commission, well, they had already spoken with Mr. Micheletti in the morning, I should say. Obviously, he said he was willing to step down if need be, and that he thought that he should be part of the National Unity Government. That wouldn't be a bad idea, that he would be a part. It wouldn't be chaired by him, of course, but the members of the Commission then left Honduras. And at that case, I asked two people, Mr. Correa and Mr. Gordon, all of you know them, to remain there. And let me just tell you, this is very important to spell this out, but not as members of the Verification Commission. No, the Verification Commission had 4 members, 2 Hondurans and 2 non-Hondurans, and the 2 non-Hondurans left on the 5th of November from Tegucigalpa. In other words, the Verification Commission was not really up and running at that time. And all of you are well aware of the statements that were made by Mr. Lagos at that time. On the 5th of November, nonetheless, they continued to meet representatives, local representatives, Mr. Reina and one of the members of the negotiation commission met with Mr. Corrales and some of the other people there, and they covered various topics. Now, this underscored the problem as to how to swear in and what date they would use for the cabinet and what methodology they would use for the representatives of President Zelaya. They proposed a methodology, and they would propose names, agree or disagree with the names. They would then put together a cabinet in that fashion. Nonetheless, this did not take place, but rather, on the night of the 5th, I'm sure you followed it in the press. I was in Jamaica at that time, but you followed it just as well as I did. Mr. Micheletti asked to step down in a communique. He asked this of his cabinet, saying that this was in order to make up the national unity government. I think it's important to throw that detail in. This is an aspect. This is an aspect that has to be looked at. Some considered it a favorable thing because the intention was to step down to work with the list that we were given. And the list that would be part of the unification government, but this has not yet been actually done. The de facto president of Honduras, Mr. Micheletti, read a communique, or there was a press release, read a bit of news, and spoke about putting together a reconciliation unification government. Micheletti confirmed that ex-president Mr. Zelaya would not be part of it, inasmuch as the list was not sent to the candidates for ministerial portfolios. So he explained that the representative government, the ideological representative government of the country, was complying strictly with the Tegucigalpa-San Jose agreement and opened up the possibility for the Zelaya people to send in their own proposals, even if, or I should say, by yesterday's deadline. People had to comply with the schedule and the timetable, and President Zelaya's point was considered. Now, there were some statements thereafter, but of course, the President Zelaya, took the decision that you're all well aware of and published a statement in which he highlights some of the points that I've already made here and says that inasmuch as the National Congress did not resolve the crux of the matter, and that is the return, and at the same time, inasmuch as the National Unity Government was not put together, obviously the agreement failed, according to President Zelaya. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that according to, well, from this standpoint, and I've spoken quite a few times with President Zelaya, I didn't even really think it was necessary to read the text of his communique, his own statement, because President Zelaya obviously believes that what people aim to do, what they aim to do, that is to say, put together a unity government, did not take place the way it had been envisaged. The postponing of putting together the Congress. Oh, of course, I had forgotten to tell you about the Congress. Well, you know, on the very same day, there was another statement issued asking for a report from the Supreme Court and the Electoral College and of the National Comptroller of the Republic and so on and so forth. Obviously, this would show that these issues still had to be ironed out. A solution that they would have very much liked. President Zelaya then made another statement on the 6th of November in which he stated that the agreement has failed because the commitment should have by now set up a national reconciliation and unity government, but that did not take place. There you have the state of play. Now, yesterday, a host of different communiques emerged, but basically none from President Zelaya himself. On the 8th, there was a communique, a press release from the de facto regime, in which they said something which, of course, is indeed interesting, because alongside the talks and the arguments put by President Zelaya, they are asking for the OAS and the members of the international community to stick or abide by the parameters of the agreement and to offer support. Therefore, it speaks to the de facto governments moving forward in compliance with the agreement. And somewhere else it says that they have to go back to the very framework of it. And it also points out that the international community should not encourage that one or the other of the parties unilaterally break an agreement that was subscribed to under the aegis of the OAS. And then the next day, yesterday, there was a second communique that was sent in which it says that the only thing that can be declared is that the agreements have not been complied with. It was agreed that who could state that would be the verification commission, and that is what they did. And so therefore, it's the verification commission that has to make that declaration. Well, I'm not discarding that possibility. That is asking the international members of the verification commission to give their opinion on what has happened. This is a topic that we will have to look at. But of course, I think that it's not really easy to strike unanimity given the state of play. Not all people will have the same view of what happened. So, as I say, the de facto government continues blaming the President Zelaya, for having not complied with the agreement and having provided names without referring to the way to which those names had to be submitted to put together the provisional government. There has not been any appointment, any designation of a new cabinet. My own advisors, my assistants, on Sunday had a meeting via telephone with President Zelaya, and he said that he was concerned with all of this and that there had been or were no meetings, neither negotiations or anything like it, but that he knew there were some minutes that were circulating, but with a proposal then to put together the national unity government and the way to put it together. But President Zelaya said that with regards to this topic, the line had to be drawn and he wasn't really willing to continue talking to the people in this dictatorship, and that he wanted to continue peacefully. And this morning, there is a communication that I just got wherein, as I say, all of these points have been put. He has asked, nonetheless, that or has pointed to the fact that there is no national unity government, it can't be done unilaterally, and the issue as to the return has not taken place, but it's an affront by the de facto government. The topic of returning the constitutional president is in the air, but the proof of this and what has happened is not calling together the Congress after elections. Of course, in the light of all of this, he's not willing to continue this back and forthing on this game. Up until yesterday, one of the two candidates, that is to say, the non-parliamentarians, Carlos Reyes, withdrew his candidacy. Mr. Cesar Ham hasn't done that. He's on the left of center, but he's upholding his candidacy thus far. So, having said that, the last thing that I'd like to tell you is that yesterday afternoon late, or today, the de facto government issued a new communique asking the National Congress to vote as soon as possible to and the executive power, and I quote, "We urge the National Congress to take a vote as soon as possible to determine whether or not the executive power is going to be recovered to its state by the 20th of June." Another statement was made to the negotiating committee, and we agree that the Tegucigalpa San Jose agreement be put into force. We would like to call for this, and ex-president Zelaya should do this. Thus far, we would like to uphold this, and it's signed by Micheletti designate, who signed this, and Morales is being called on by the OAS and the USA to maintain the commitment and to abide by all of the provisions of the agreement. Well, this is done. What's done is done. And there is nothing left to renegotiate. What we have to do, everybody involved in the agreement, is to make it go into force, to comply with it. I think that this last bit of the sentence is very interesting because I thought I was going to go to Tegucigalpa. I remembered, though, that the only thing that I would say with regards to this is to point to the Verification Commission. This is a note from the de facto government that I have here with me, so that this current situation is one about which I think the truth is not, things don't seem very possible. It doesn't seem really very possible to reestablish or reignite a dialogue because one of the parties believes, and this is quite clear, our representative spoke very lengthily on this, and that is the topic of President Zelaya. They asked if some informal contacts would be made, but President Zelaya had absolutely no willingness to go back to the table to talk with the de facto government. He repeated everything he'd already said, including to me, by phone, so that any solution for this could come from unilateral decisions from that aforementioned sector. And this, with a move towards putting together the Reconciliation Unity Government and allowing for the Congress to give its own opinion on the topic of returning President Zelaya and hearing their position on the de facto government, because you will understand that whilst this regime is still there, then it legitimizes the Congress. Mr. Micheletti is the de facto person, and it would be very difficult to have Mr. Zelaya return. This is the situation or the state of play, but right now the reality of the situation is that there are no negotiations underway. I think that, in addition to what I've already said, is that our decision or any thoughts in this regard on the possibility of having elections is really something that we couldn't even consider, because the conditions to have them, the material conditions to do have those elections, we don't have. I really don't think that the conditions are right to send an electoral mission to Honduras. I want to say that because for the meetings that I have been in, the Rio Group meetings and then with the CALC, some government said that they became aware this morning that the OAS was preparing an electoral mission to go down. Well, the OAS heard this morning, and a week ago, I was saying that I was going to get this procedure underway. But of course, there wasn't going to be any electoral mission whilst the General Assembly of the OAS didn't withdraw the sanctions on Honduras. And I think that that is quite clear. And we don't really have to go back and discuss that again, because that has been what I've been advocating. I have a timetable in which the observers would potentially go down, a timetable that increasingly was put off until things changed, unless something dramatic took place. It really wouldn't make sense to do anything else, because we really can't send any electoral mission to iron out the issue of elections in the light of the General Assembly's decision is overturned. This is the gist of the report. Papers came in to the Secretariat today, but I thought that it was important to underscore and shed light on the real situation. And I'm going to conclude on that note. When the Verification Commission was set up and went to Tegucigalpa, some measures were taken to set up a reconciliation government headed by, or made up with, Micheletti, with the proposal that a host of different stakeholders, including Mr. Manuel Zelaya, would be present in that government. And on the other hand, though, at that time, there was no willingness to establish a date to include this talk on returning the president.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for that detailed report. We, all delegations...